Top of Hour 2 coming up in about 15 minutes. It's Talking Sports with That Guy right here on CosmicBroadcasting.com. Shout out to everybody on Facebook as well as Twitter. Don't forget, you can follow me at Big Lynn Williams. A lot of stuff from, piling in for these midseason grades. Professor Warren McCarty still on the line with us. He just went in on the AFC. Now it's time to switch gears and go over to the National Football Conference. First and foremost, before they do any of that, Dub, I don't let anybody off the line without the opportunity to tell people where they can find you. Where you at now, man?
Man, I'm right in the middle of doing a website redesign, but you can follow me on Twitter at MPIF Radio. Check out the website, mypassionisfootball.com. And there'll be some new updated content here in just the next couple of days, and I think people are really going to like what they see. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be good stuff, man. I'll be one that can state it. And as honest as I can, you're definitely missed on air. You are definitely missed on air,
brother.
Man.
I appreciate that. My goal has always just been to challenge people and make them think, not just to regurgitate what they hear on SportsCenter, regurgitate what they hear on the national shows, but to really challenge them, separate fact from fiction, and make people think. That's what I like to do. So appreciate the love there, Big Man.
No worries, man. All right, let's go over to the National Football Conference and tell you what, I'll throw out the same question that we ended with on the first segment, and that question was, who has the best chance of improving their midseason grade as to what it is right now? We're looking at Washington at 3-6. You know what? What the hell? I'm gonna throw the New York Giants in there as well at 3-5. Mm-hmm. Let's look at Tampa Bay at 1-7, and let's look at Chicago at 3-5. I'm leaving St. Louis out, and for me, it's the same thing in St. Louis. It's been going on for the last couple of years. A bunch of young pups down there, whom if they get the right tutelage, they're going to be halfway to dangerous. So I'm leaving those dudes out, but. Mm-hmm. But the other four, who has the best chance of improving a bad grade?
Oh, without question, it's Chicago, because all the pieces are there. Prior to the season started, I said Chicago, Denver, and the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
Chicago has every weapon you could possibly ask for on offense. They're in the second year of a system. Defensively, people keep talking about Cutler and the boys. He's been a little up and down. Receivers have not all been healthy. Brandon Marshall's, not been extremely healthy this season like he was last year. Alshon Jeffrey had a little wrist thing going on. Their issue's been defense. People don't realize that because it's so easy to blame the quarterback. They're not playing very good football on defense. But, again, I'm waiting to see the Jared Allen that we all know. Waiting to see the Biggs that we all know. Or Lance Briggs, excuse me. So, they've had the Tillman injury hurts because of his leadership and just how good he is in man coverage, but I think the Bears have a chance if they can get that defense going, rebuild their confidence on offense, they can make a good run here. The Giants are a dumpster fire. They're hurt, and the rest of the teams that we kind of talked about, that they've got too much to overcome, but I think the Bears have got a shot to get right back in the mix.
Absolutely. You know what? One more team that I forgot to add in there, and a couple of my listeners in Atlanta are teeing off, and I mean teeing off big time on the Atlanta Falcons. I actually had one that said D-, and the only reason that I don't give them an F is because somehow, some way, they won two games. Shout out to Mark Lee in Atlanta, Georgia. Your thoughts? Exactly.
They're an enigma. Again, all the pieces are there on offense, minus the injuries they've had up front. Okay, their O-line is banged up. Sam Baker and those guys all getting hurt. That's been a problem. But kind of like that Kevin Colbert discussion, you look at, okay, what did they do to get better on defense? Well, last year they let Jonathan Abraham go and never replaced him, and he went and had an all-pro season with the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
They have no pass rush. I don't know that anybody can really name anybody in their secondary. I mean, to be honest, who are the stars? Who are the all-pro guys that play defense for the Atlanta Falcons? Right?
Yeah.
I can't really name one. Now, again, I'm not fantasy dude. I'm not fantasy guys. Right. I don't have, you know, playing five fantasy leagues, and you know, I don't know up and down every roster, but I can't name one badass baller that plays for the Atlanta Falcons on the defensive side of football. So that's a problem. And I don't know. You know, I don't know if that means it's regime change. I don't know if it means Mike Smith's got to go. But there's clearly something fundamentally lacking in what they're doing there. But to me, it starts on the defensive side of football.
Yeah, I got you there. Warren McCarty on the hotline with us. All right, let's start from the top and go down further. Let's start in the NFC West, and a team that is headed by your boy, and I got to give you props on that, man. You are one of the biggest Carson Palmer fans I know, and you've stuck by this guy forever and ever. Did not wanted to literally walk away from football. Didn't want to play in Cincinnati. Said I lost my love for the game in Oakland. Moved to Arizona. Now all of a sudden he's standing on a 3-year extension. Explain to us the evolution of Carson Palmer on top of giving Arizona at least a B+.
Here's the thing: when you have a devastating knee injury like he did, people who don't play at that level or haven't played at that level, I think fail to grasp how tough it is and painful it is not only to sustain a terrible injury but to come back. I think people underestimate how incredibly hard just an ACL rehab is. I mean, you ask an athlete who's done ACL rehab to come back, this is like the toughest thing they've ever physically done in their life. He got his knee destroyed by your boy in Pittsburgh mm-hmm. in that playoff game,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
His coming back, I think, took a lot out of him. And I think he saw a lot of things going on behind the scenes in Cincinnati that just it just disgusted him. So I think he had that combination of two things made him just kind of want to just walk away. Hugh Jackson, you know, picks him up off the couch. People fail to realize his first 16 games in Oakland, which is, of course, his second half of one season through the first half of another, dude threw for over 5,000 yards.
Right.
If that happened anywhere else, we'd be like, whoa, dude threw for 5K, man, he's in this special club. Nobody really realized it, plus he was surrounded by talent and yet another dysfunctional organization. Gets to Arizona. Bruce Arians sees a quarterback with a powerful arm, strong mechanics that doesn't necessarily have to get out of the pocket to make plays, and that feeds right into, you know, what he always enjoyed in Pittsburgh, although, of course, you know, Roethlisberger is agile and mobile and all that stuff, but Ben loved to throw the ball down the field. He saw this in Carson Palmer, thought it'd be a great fit, and things have really taken off for those guys. So I can't be happier for Carson Palmer. I mean, I knew he had it in him still because you saw flashes in Oakland. He just needed to be surrounded in the right situation with the right play caller, and now he's got that.
Yeah, it's good stuff, good things going on in Arizona. A lot of guys in my incredibly small circle calling Bruce Arians a flat-out genius. Don't know how he's doing it, but he did
it. Well, here's the reason why, Big Lynn, people are using that term with him and saying, hey, second time he's going to get Coach of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their defense, man.
Yeah.
Their injuries are – they're, again, one of these teams that on paper you would think – would have been decimated by injuries and loss of Carlos Dansby to Cleveland mm-hmm. and free agency and dude with the suspension for a year and Jonathan Abraham being off and on, like all these key players, yet they keep coming out and balling week after week after week with like their second, third, fourth string dudes, you know?
Yeah. It's like you said, who develops their second and third guys down there. Let's go to the NFC East and talk about Dallas and and Philadelphia. Grades for both of these teams.
I'm going to give Dallas an A, not an A+. I'm going to give them the A because they finally listened to, I don't know, anybody who watched the Cowboys game over the last decade.
Right?
Run the ball. Feed DeMarco Murray, and guess what happens? Oh, you get 9 in the box. Well, we get 9 in the box. Suddenly, Jason Witten and Dez Bryant and the rest of the receivers are in man coverage. Like I said, you give a guy 10 routes in man coverage, he's going 70% of the time. Tony Romo can escape pressure. You know I love Tony Romo, too. He's mm-hmm. got his flaws, mm-hmm. but you make life easy for Romo, you win football games. and you keep that defense off the field when you run the ball. And they found a formula that works. Now we'll see how things work out with Romo's back issue and stuff, and make sure that Dallas doesn't, you know, find a way to get in their own way, which right. they've chronically done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia, I might be in the minority here, Big Land. I still don't believe in what Chip Kelly's doing.
Hmm.
Okay, here's why. We saw it play out when he was at Oregon. They had this nemesis called Stanford. And all Stanford ever did was line up in two tight end sets with a fullback. They'd motion that dude a little bit. They'd run power football, run ISO, 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 toss sweep, ISO, stretch, and then they play action deep off of that. And what that did is it kept Oregon's offense off the field. It wore down their fast defense just with physical football, lulled them to sleep, and took shots over the top. And they kept beating Oregon, right?
Yeah.
I think we're going to start seeing that in Philadelphia because they've invested all their money, effort, and energy on the offensive side of football. And by the way, I think Mark Sanchez will do fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're still going to score points because that's what they do. But they got to have the ball to score points.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense is not great. And I think down the stretch, especially when this weather turns a little bit, we're going to see teams face up with Philadelphia. They're going to pound the rock and pound the rock and pound the rock and then take play action shots deep and get man coverage on the outside and keep that offense off the field. And I think his way of playing football will get exposed again. That's my theory. We'll see how it plays out. They've won a lot of games so far. But again, they're kind of like Cleveland. I see some cracks in the concrete. You know,
there's a lot of people out there, especially on Facebook and Twitter, that actually agree with you in regards to Philly. They're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. let's see. Let's go down south. Let's go to New Orleans and talk about the 4-4 Saints. Is this a case to where these guys are getting better? Because they've won the last two, or is this a case to where New Orleans is going to, like you said, Dallas may find a way to get in their own way?
I don't know how to answer that. I think it might be the latter, where you just wonder if they're going to get in their own way and forget to run the ball, right?
Yeah.
They got Kyrie Robinson from West Texas A&M. That's my backyard.
Right.
And these other backs, they got, you know, Mark Graham and Pierre Thomas, they got three cats that can run the ball. They got playmakers on the outside. You got a dude again in Jim Graham that works the middle of the field and occupies linebackers and safeties. That gives you man coverage and winnable odds on the outside. They got dudes on the outside that can win. That Brandon Crooks kid from Oregon State's dynamite.
Yes, he is.
But do they forget to run the ball? Do they try to throw it 60 times a game? Despite how awesome Drew Brees and those guys are, it's not a winning formula, right? It's not
right.
a winning formula.
Right.
You throw it that much, week in and week out, you're going to get exposed. If they run the ball, they will win. And running the ball keeps that defense off the field, and when they come on the field, they're fresh and they're able to blitz and fly around like Coach Ryan wants them to do. But you can't play his style of football if you're on the field all the time. Those dudes eventually gas out, and then when you have to start subbing in dudes, you have far less effective blitz packages when you got backups in there and
mm-hmm.
special teams dudes that are out there trying to blitz on third and long. So, again, I think the Saints might be awesome, or they might be Dallas and get in their way and end up going 8-8.
Last one for you, Dub, and I appreciate you coming on. I'm looking at two races, one in the NFC North and
uh-huh.
one in the NFC West. I want to know which one of these teams is going to get caught. Will it be the Detroit Lions because you got Green Bay right behind them, even though Detroit has won three games in a row? Or do we go to the NFC West and aside of Arizona, does San Francisco finally get that monkey off their back known as the Seattle Seahawks and catch them?
This has been such a weird NFL season, Len. Seattle, I kind of wonder if they're not a dumpster fire right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it just all crumbling suddenly?
Yeah.
And San Francisco, all this talk about Balky and Harbaugh can't get along, and they forget to give Frank Gore the football. And
how do you forget that?
I don't know, because it's the winning formula. You got a tight end that can occupy the middle of the field. You got receivers that can win and be physical on the outside. Stevie Johnson in the slot. It's all set up by running the ball. And they forget. And then Seattle with the Percy Harvin stuff. And
Russell Wilson.
Looking average suddenly when they're not running the ball very well. And mm-hmm. he doesn't have receivers working in the middle of the field and on the outside that can win.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wonder if they don't cancel each other out. Detroit, here's the thing about Motown. They're winning games without Big Calvin Johnson.
Ding.
Right? So right. Now he's back. Matt Stafford take a little bit better care of the football this year. I don't know about Green Bay catching them. I think it might be Detroit's division to lose, you know?
Wow. The roar restored. How about that?
The roar restored. How about that? Yeah.
Could be good stuff.
Eddie Murphy will be happy. Didn't he always rock the Lions jacket?
Right? Axel F in the building, of course.
Yes,
of course. Hey, yeah. Hey, Dub, it was an honor and a pleasure, man. You are welcome back at any time. We got to do this again soon, man.
Man, I loved it. Thank you, Big Land, and I'm glad to hear that you're still rocking the airwaves and the cosmic airwaves. You're doing a great job, brother. Hey. I'll talk to you soon.